Chapter 15. Pox tried to think where they were as they walked. They'd been south of the southeast corner of the fort. Then they'd gone south, and a little east, with the firs. Now she hoped they were walking west. The road lay west of the fort. But how far west? She remembered several turns before it got to the bridge. Where were the turns? This was going to be trickier than she'd thought. Where the trees were open on the ridge, she could see better, but so could any enemy. She heard a horn call off to the right, and froze. It came again. She looked at Sabin and Kana behind her. Kana shrugged. Pox gestured to the thicker growth downslope, and Kana nodded. They eased their way into it, and rested for a few minutes. Pox explained her concern. Noisy progress through the thick growth, or visible progress through the thinner woods. After some discussion, they decided to stay in the heavier downslope woods, moving more slowly for silence. It was harder going, but Pox felt safer. They stopped at intervals to listen, and kept a nervous eye on the rise above them. A patrol could come very close before they saw it. Suddenly she stopped. She thought she saw a lighter area ahead, a clearing, perhaps, or the road. She gestured, and the others lay down. When she looked back at them, their white faces showed clear against the dark, wet leaves. She dug into the leaf mold with her fingers and smeared it on her face, then looked back again and pointed to show what she'd done. They nodded and began doing the same. Pox gestured again for them to stay in place and began to creep forward, keeping to such cover as she could find. From her position, she could see very little. After a few damp, tiring yards of creeping, she was tempted to stand and look. But when she glanced back to see how far she'd come, Kana's hand signal was emphatic. Down! Stay down! Pox nodded and went on. She was sure she was near the opening, whatever it was, when she heard the beat of many horses coming rapidly. She started to leap up and run, but controlled herself. They were on the road by the sound. It must be the road. They wouldn't see her unless she moved. She told herself that again and again, forcing herself to stare at the layers of leaves on the ground, lest her eyes be visible. The horses came from her right, at least 10, she thought. She would have sworn that they trotted right over her. The hoofbeats passed and died away. Pox breathed again and lifted her head. She could see a gap and trees beyond it. She crept forward until she could see the road itself, scarred with hoof marks and fresh wheel ruts. If the enemy had wagons, that would slow them. She looked along the road as far as she could, without getting out in the open. Nothing. It was much harder creeping back to Sabin and Kana with her back to the road. She was sure that someone was there watching her, perhaps drawing a bow to shoot. She wanted to jump up and run forward. Her shoulders ached. The wet leaf mold tickled her nose. She wanted to sneeze. She kept crawling, muttering silently in her head, and almost bumped into Kana. "The road," she said unnecessarily, in Kana's ear. Kana was pale. "I was afraid you'd jump up and bolt, those horses." "I almost did," said Pox. "Let's move farther back." They crawled back, then turned downslope again and went deeper in the hollow, squatting under a clump of cedar. "I didn't see any sentries," said Pox. "I looked both ways. I don't know where the horsemen were going." "Did you get a good look at them?" asked Kana. "No, I was afraid they'd see my face, so I stared at the ground. It sounded like 10 or more." "I thought about a dozen," said Kana. "They might have been going to that farm, the one where we got the ox that time."
"I suppose so. I was hoping they were going south and wouldn't be back."
"Unlikely, unless they're messengers. I expect they were after supplies or information." "Now that we've found the road, shouldn't one of us try to find out what's happening at the fort?" asked Sabin. "At least we can find out how big the Honeycat's force is." Kana shook her head.
"No. I'd agree if we had a few more, but as it is, we can't take the chance of losing even one."
"But if they take the prisoners away by a different route..."
"How can they?" asked Pox.
"North is the only track over the mountains. Why would they go there? This is the only road south. They'll have to use it."
"Unless they go across country."
"With wagons? I saw fresh wheel ruts, deep ones. They'll have to stay on a road."
"How far is the crossroads?" asked Sabin.
Pox looked at Kana.
"Do you remember? I think it was a day's march. We got here at mid-afternoon, and the fork was where we halted the day before, wasn't it?" Yes. That's the road that goes to Merinath, east of us, and to Voldair if you go far enough west. But they won't turn there for Rotengra. They'd stay on this road through two crossings. No. Southeast, at the second. The way we came, anyway. But they could go through Sorellan, or even around it to the west, for some reason. Pox had been sketching in the dirt with a stick. So, a crossroad here, where they could turn, and another here? Right. And then Sorellan, and then... How far is Rotengra? It's east as well as south, isn't it? Kana peered at the furrowed dirt. Yes, let me think. We're about 2 days from Sorellan, I think, and it's... Oh, call it 4 days this way. She pointed at the route, east of the city, from that village we stopped at coming up. I think it's about as far from us as Sorellan, but I'm not sure. 6 or 7 days altogether, about what I remembered, but we could go ahead of them this far, said Pox, pointing to the first crossroad. They have to take this road that far, and they might not expect us to be ahead of them.
But we don't know how long they're going to stay here, said Sabin. We could wait a month for them, and the Duke, none the wiser.
Kana shook her head. No, Siniava has a name for moving fast. I think he won't try the fort more than a day or so. If they don't break, he'll leave someone behind and take the rest of his force south. I can't see him tying up his whole army for one little fort.
And I thought, said Pox, that if we got ahead of them, we could get some food, too, before they came along to buy it up.
Yes, but then we've been seen. They'll ask questions. If they find out that someone in Duke Phelan's colors has been buying food, they'll come looking for us.
Pox frowned. She was very conscious of her empty belly. A few berries and hazelnuts were not going to be enough, and they wouldn't have time to gather many.
Well, Kana, said Sabin, do we have to stay in the Duke's colors?
Yes, or be taken for bandits or spies. With our scars, we can't pass as farmers, but Pox has a good idea. We can move south along this road to the first crossing and wait a day or so. If they don't come, we can decide then who will go straight to the Duke and who will keep watch.
Let's go then.
Pox rose with the others. Although the fog had cleared, the light was already waning under an overcast sky. She led them down slope again, across a narrow trail, and up the next gentle rise. She tried to stay just close enough to the road to be aware of the gap in the trees. They saw no one, and heard nothing on the road. Pox had just begun to wonder if they were nearing the farm when she smelled wood smoke and saw more light off to the right. She recalled the 4 or 5 huts and a barn, a rail-fenced enclosure for stock, and long narrow strips of plowed and fallow ground. Her mouth watered at the smell of the wood smoke. She looked at Kana and Sabin. They looked as hungry as she felt.
I might be able to steal something, she said.
Sabin nodded, but Kana shook her head.
No, remember the horseman.
Pox had forgotten in her hunger.
It would help, though, to find out if that's where they are. We haven't heard them on the road. I hope they aren't sweeping the woods.
I hadn't thought of that, said Pox.
I didn't think you had. We're not out of the net yet. We need to think of everything, because they will.
Sabin, why don't you slip up to the road this time, just like Pox. Stay down, no matter what. Right away. Oh, is my face dirty enough?
Not quite.
Pox smeared leaf mold across his cheek. There. And I'll do as much for you next time, he said, grinning. Pox and Kana sat down to watch as he crept toward the road.
That's hard on the arms, said Pox, as she watched.
Yes. I don't think we should talk.
Kana's face was grim. Pox shot her a glance and went back to watching Sabin. He looked very slow, but she knew how hard it was. She thought about the chance of a mounted sweep in the woods and shivered. No fog to hide them, not enough underbrush here. We ought to be farther apart, she thought. Then they might find only one, or that might make them look harder for more. Her belly growled loudly. Kana looked at her, and Pox shrugged. No way to stop that without food. Sabin was out of sight now, among the bushes by the road. Pox slipped her knife out and looked at it. If she hadn't given her parole, she would not have a knife. Would not have been out burying, most likely. She would have been in the fort, maybe in a cell. But then, She'd have a sword by now, because the Halverics had armed the Fulani. But besieged by such a force, she shook her head, and returned to thoughts of the route south. A day to the crossroads and wait. They could do that, even without food. Her belly growled again, louder. Except for Kana, she thought. Kana's been hurt. She has to have food. And if I can find food for one, I can find it for three. She cheered up a bit. There was Sabin creeping back toward them. The smell of smoke came stronger as the wind veered a moment. Sabin came nearer. When she met his eyes, he signaled them to move farther away from the road. Sabin followed them. When they stopped in a thicket, Pock saw that his face was pale under the leaf mold. "What is it?" asked Kana. "They're there," he said in a strange, choked voice. "I counted 12 horses tethered along that fence, you remember. They've killed the farmers and their families. The bodies are just lying around like old rags, or—" His voice broke, and he stopped, choking back sobs. Pox had a sudden vision of an army in Three Furs. She had never thought of that, of armed men coming onto her father's farm, her brothers and sisters. "Sabin!" Kana shook his arm. "Sabin, stop it. You've seen dead before. It's terrible, yes, but we don't want to be next." He looked up, eyes wet. "But we're fighters, Kana. That's what we're for. Those weren't soldiers. They didn't have a chance." "Sabin, it's only your second year, and we don't do things like that, but surely you know that some armies do." "If only we'd come faster, we might have stopped them," he said. "Three of us, with daggers. Remember what you said last night, Sabin."
"But our people," said Pox. "What about our people? If they'd kill farmers like that, what will they do to soldiers?"
"Pox, don't think about it. All we can do is get help. Tell the Duke. Whatever can be done, he'll do. You know that."
Kana turned back to Sabin.
"Do they look like they'll be there long?"
Sabin took a shaky breath. Then another.
"Yes. They were cooking. One of the cattle, I think. They're all around the fire."
"Then we can slip past, probably, and we'd better—"
She broke off as a rattle of hooves rang out on the road.
"One horse," said Pox. "Messenger?"
"Could be."
"Let me look," said Sabin. "I won't do anything."
"Well,
I'm all right, Kana. We do need to know what they're doing."
"All right. We'll stay here. Don't get caught."
"No."
Sabin turned away toward the road and disappeared. Pox found she'd slipped her dagger out again. Kana shook her head and pointed at the sheath. She slipped it back in. They waited. They heard a shout from the distance. Another shout. Pox felt her heart give a great leap in her chest.
"Sabin?"
she gasped.
"I hope not," said Kana. "Holy Gerd, defend him. If that was a messenger, maybe they're shouting at each other."
Her face was paler than before. They listened. No more shouts. Pox imagined Sabin full of arrows, his body dragged to the fire, or taken alive for questioning. She shuddered. Kana touched her hand.
"Don't think about it. We don't know. Imagining things will make you weaker."
Pox nodded without speaking, and tried to force her thoughts elsewhere. Again the noise of hooves, this time many of them on the road. Was the whole troop leaving? They waited in a silence scarcely broken by the rustle of leaves and a slight wind. Pox gave up looking in the direction Sabin had gone and stared at the ground. She jumped when Kana nudged her. Sabin was coming toward them, walking almost upright. He was grinning. Pox felt a rush of relief that made her unsteady on her feet as she rose.
"I thought you'd—"
"I know," he said. "When they yelled, it scared me, and I could see what was happening. Kana, the troop's gone, ordered back to the fort, and they left a whole cow on the fire. The messenger, that single horse, told them not to wait, because they were starting south in the morning. If we hurry, we can have meat, and plenty of it."
At once, Pox's hunger returned.
"What about sentries?" asked Kana.
"Surely—" "No. All the horses are gone, and every horse had a rider. I made sure of that. Please, Kana, it's our best chance."
"It's risky. But you're right, it's our chance."
We could pass the farm, said Pox. Sabin or I'll double back if it's clear. How's that?
Good idea. I hope they've cut that meat. I don't want to leave any obvious signs.
I never thought of that, said Sabin. They were poking at it. I saw that the first time I looked, but I don't know about cut.
We'll see. Even if it hasn't, we ought to be able to find other food there, and they may think one of theirs took it.
They moved on carefully. The farm clearing lay across the road. When they had passed it, they moved to the road edge and looked both ways.
Maybe only one of us should cross, said Pox. If anything happens, maybe they'll look on that side.
I don't know if that matters, said Kana. Still, any precaution might help. Sabin, you've seen the worst already. Can you go?
Yes, Kana.